they thought was being said in private was now being passed around like appetizers at a dinner party. Everyone had a munch and a nibble, and then they passed on the plate to someone else. You ever shared with something with somebody and you're like, oh, they didn't keep it private. They sort of shared it with everybody else. And you think, oh. And so this person, they're locked down now. They shared something and it got shared outside, and they're in a state of lockdown. And they exposed their heart. They got hurt and made a vow to never be open again. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. And if you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you know, keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. And I've got my two dogs here. Don't even give your heart to dogs. He goes on, wrap it carefully around with hobbies, with little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements with anybody. Just avoid them. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness and self-protection. Well, that's what I've added, self-protection. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It'll become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love at all is to be vulnerable. But some had died within them. And it was a willingness to trust anybody, and therefore to know love and to give love. They allowed others to come so close, only so close as they felt safe. Functionality, not intimacy. All because the person that they had confided in couldn't hold their pain, their confusion, their mystery. The confessor had gone rogue. The confessor may have had an occupation where they were supposed to be able to handle that stuff, but they weren't the person that could hold or contain others. Look, here's some confessions from a hurt healer, myself, where I've shared stuff and it's gone rogue and it's hurt. Look, being a confessor is not everybody's calling. Yeah, we want everyone to be a safe container that where we can share the stuff too. But not everyone is a safe container. People leak. And in reality, not everyone is equipped to cope. I think it's a calling, actually. I think it's a speciality known only to a few. Look, some aspects of being safe for others can be learned. But for the most part, I believe it's actually a gift. Even a spiritual gift given by God and enabled and sustained by Spirit, Holy Spirit. And I think I have it because it seems like people want to open up to me. They download and it doesn't seem to stick emotionally to me. You know, some of the things I've heard would scar and possibly traumatize other people. And like, I'm always amazed and grateful for counselors, therapists, pastors, and others who have been equipped somehow to contain others' pain, you know, to let others vomit out their heart and know what to do with it themselves. And I want to say, if you're in a role such as a pastor and you can't cope with the vomit, then please find someone who can. Look, it's not everybody's calling to hear the deep pain. And so you need to learn how to politely and gently support others to the degree that you can. Maybe you need to be able to say to people, hey, look, I hear you're in pain, but I'm not the person that you need to talk to. There's somebody else, and can I help you to talk to them? And I love you, but maybe it's somebody else that you need to talk to. The second thing I've learned is that everyone needs a safe confessor. Yeah, when the pain gets locked up in your soul, it doesn't make good wine. It makes vinegar, acid and acrid. That pain, it just eats away at life. And love is lost, and in that airless casket or coffin, as C.S. Lewis would say, the soul will suffocate itself. And you know, there are pains that we need to get off our chest. Yeah, it's an interesting little saying, that isn't it? You know, get it off your chest. The chest, it holds the heart and the lungs, the organs that feed and sustain the flow of life in the body. And when we have unshared pain, you know, it can feel like a weight is sort of like pressing down and constricting our ability to breathe and to beat. I'm not sure who said it, and if you do know, let me know, because I'm really keen to get a reference. But it may be Martin Luther that once said that the greatest loss from the Reformation, this is the Reformation from the Catholic Church, was the loss of the confessional box. Now, I'm not saying that having a confessional box in the way the Roman Catholicism is done is ideal, to have the normality of an act of safe confession may allow many of us to breathe a lot easier and live a lot lighter. Number three is forgiving the foolishness. Now, I've shared with people some of my hurt and then felt betrayed by them. And I imagine many of you probably have too. What was shared in private was told to others. And it felt, probably wasn't, but it felt like they'd picked up a microphone, a megaphone. And look, then there are those that, when we share something deep, it's treated with disdain and mocking. They minimize it and scoff. Oh, that's nothing. You know, or they problem solve. It's another tactic we use, and I'll include myself, we you know, want to problem solve and move on, or I've got the great advice, without actually really deeply listening. You know, let me tell you what you should do. I'll tell you what you should do, when all you want is actually just to be known. Yeah, it's foolishness, and it requires forgiveness. And you know, they don't know what they're doing. And if they do know what they're doing, and they're malicious, there's sort of a sense of malicious intent to their actions, then I'm going to say there's a double foolishness with fries going on. Look, I am continually brought back to something a wise old person said to me. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Just lay it at the foot of the cross. And those hurts. And I think about on the cross, you know, Jesus, he doesn't ask for vengeance. He doesn't ask for God to, you know, wipe them all out, which he could have done, and God may well have done so. Instead, he asks for them to be forgiven in their foolishness. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we don't know what we're doing. And so often we need to say, oh, I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And even if they do know what they're doing, they don't know the full story of what they're doing. They don't know the greater story. You know, it seems like I've got a well-worn path to that place, that the foot of the cross. And whenever I feel like the bile of my hurt rise up, I ask for help to find my way there. And it's always a very well-worn place. And I think there's quite a few others there too. Number four is not repeating the same mistake. Look, it's foolish to keep exposing your heart to unsafe people with the hope of getting a different response. Seriously. Yes, I know. Look, in an ideal world, others would be able to hear your heart, hear my heart, and not go rogue with it. But it's been a very long time since we've left the Garden of Eden. You know, that place where nakedness was the norm, and love and love with unconstrained abandonment. That was what the garden was like, well, it's a long way from Garden of Eden days. So you know, we are careful with who we share both our darkness and our light with. Not everyone is safe. Not everyone is good. Every one of us has an element of foolishness in us. Yeah, we test the waters. Yeah, we watch and observe. And you know, there's a prayer for direction to the safe burden bearers, those people who can contain that stuff. Negotiations take place and we ask questions. In fact, one of the questions people sometimes ask me is, are you okay? Are you okay with hearing that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And if I'm not, I'll tell them. Look, trust is built up over time through shaky experiences. And maybe, just maybe, you know, we can find a safe confessor. I've got a little quote here. Well, it's my quote. Mental health is finding a safe person to be vulnerable to and being that safe person to someone else. Hey, here's a few other quotes from other people that you might like to think about. Just because you forgive someone does not mean you trust them. That has to be earned back again. Dave Riddell. Shirley Glass wrote this, forgiveness is a choice. You choose not to be held hostage in the present to the injustices that occurred in the past. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, a man who confesses his sins in the presence of a brother knows that he is no longer alone with himself. He experiences the presence of God and the reality of the other person. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? Pretty deep, good stuff there. Rob Bell, opening up your soul to someone, letting them into your spirit, thoughts, fears, future, hopes, dreams. That is being naked. Yeah, I like that. And Shirley Glass again, she says, forgiving is not a single event. Hear that? Forgiving is not a single event, but it's a gradual process of increasing compassion and reducing resentment. So that's really reassuring. It doesn't just happen, bang, you've forgiven them. No, it's a process of increasing compassion and reducing resentment. It's a process. It's a journey. It's a letting go. It's a feeling it again. It's a letting go. Some questions to answer. What would be the top qualities for you of a safe confessor? Number two is, when have you truly felt listened to in a deeply safe context? And number three, why is it that some people are good containers and others are not? I hope you found this helpful and that it's going to be of help to you in sharing your heart, finding safe people to share that stuff with. If you'd like to email me, that would be fantastic. I love to hear from my listeners and readers. The website, the email address is barry@turningthepage.info. And if you found this helpful, it's on a blog at turningthepage.info. And you may like to come over, read it, share it with your friends. Email me some comments and thoughts. Hey, and if you'd like to support what I'm doing here, I'd really appreciate it. It does cost a little bit of money to do what I'm doing, so any help is good help. And you can find out how at turningthepage.info/support. Hey, until next week, I pray that the God of grace and peace will be with you. Okay. Thanks. Bye.